It's 7 minutes after 10. I'm Kara Lawrence, and my guests today hail from Kalamazoo College and the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. Jim Turner will conduct his 20th and final Bach Fest Christmas this Sunday at 4 o'clock in Stetson Chapel. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming to WMUK. I'd also like to welcome chorister Gail Griffin, who will be here. Maybe we'll hear a few stories about what it's like to be in the choir of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus. Nice to have you here, too.
Thank you very much. I'll try to think of some.
And I'd also like to welcome once again Andrew Kohler.
Thanks for having me.
And you'll be directing the Arcado Ensemble in a special selection and, of course, participating as a violinist.
Yeah, double duty, both things that I love doing.
Well, Jim, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about the significance of this concert. Although, if we may, I'd like to widen it up to some more significance as well. These numbers, 70, 20, and 47, what do they mean?
Well, this is, we are celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival that Dr. Henry Overly started 7 years ago. And so that's obviously a significant year for us this year. This is my 20th anniversary as director of the Bach Festival. And because I'm retiring at the end of this year, the Bach Christmas concert will be my final Christmas concert with Bach. And also started by Dr. Overly, this tradition this year marks the 47th consecutive Christmas concert.
Wow. Most of us can't remember 70 years ago to when the entire idea of a Bach Festival Society was established. But we're here today kind of celebrating its existence and all of that it's added to our community over the years. It's pretty extraordinary to see something last for 70 years.
And it's just exciting for all of us who are part of the Bach Festival in Kalamazoo College, to see how it's expanded over the years, specifically in the areas of educational outreach, which didn't exist 20 years ago when I took over as music director. So in addition to sponsoring major artists into the area, like Chanticleer and Cantus and the Vienna Boys Choir, we've also begun in earnest in the last 20 years with major educational outreach programs. So that's something that's really changed quite a bit in my 20 years of being music director.
Did you help begin the Young Vocalists competition?
I did. I made a decision when I took over that there were enough competitions for string players and keyboard players.
Yeah.
And that tradition, when I took over, singers were competing with string players and keyboard people. And singers just start so much later than those musicians do. So it's an all singing competition now for college and high school students, and I began that. And I think we're in our 18th year of sponsoring that, and our also 18th year of a high school choral festival that I started.
The choir itself, though, is the heart of the Bach Festival. Tell me about your choir.
Well, absolutely. Gail and I were talking as we were waiting to come in to speak with you and Andrew about the significance of this group, that I admire so much their steadfastness and their loyalty and their willingness to work and perform really difficult music that mostly would be sung by a professional or semi-professional choir. So I actually asked Gail to talk about that a little bit, if she'd like, about why she is... while she was still teaching full-time in the English department at K College, was singing with us in her busy schedule, and also as a writer, and still continues to sing with us, and perhaps sharing why.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I'd love to. I realized that I first sang with the Bach Festival in Jim's first year. So it's Jim's Bach Festival that I really know. We did Elijah that year. I had never done a vocal work like that, and it was just a thrilling experience for me. And I hadn't really sung since high school. And in elementary and high school, I was in at least two choirs all the time. And when I went to college, I dropped it, and I'll never be able to figure out why. And I realized in my advanced middle age that something really huge had gone out of my life. and I needed to get it back. And so Jim was nice enough to let me join without much of an audition. and I've been singing ever since, with a couple of spaces in there for sabbatical years when I was out of town. I've sung in every Bach festival. And I actually like the Christmas concert best.
When did you realize this was a special group?
I think, as you know, a few years ago I sensed that Jim had a little more faith that we could do even more difficult music, and the bar started getting raised. We started doing more difficult stuff both at Christmas and in the big concert in the spring. And I just watched everybody sort of rise to the occasion. And these are not people who have a lot of time to give to music. And they all have lives and families and jobs, and some of them commute from as far away as South Haven and Sturgis and other places on Tuesday nights through all kinds of weather.
Cold water.
Yeah, cold water. To spend 3 hours in Stetson Chapel or in the Fine Arts Building rehearsing. And I just, it's easy for me. I live four blocks away. But I just thought these people are really remarkable. And the sound that Jim's been able to get out of this motley crew never ceases to amaze me.
What section do you sing in?
Alto.
Alto.
Yes.
And the last of your training was in high school.
It was indeed.
What has happened to your voice as a member, you know, now that you've been singing for 20 years again?
Yeah. Well, Jim gave me several top notes again. I got top notes back that I had lost through years of smoking and other bad behavior. And the bottom notes have gotten better. but I just sing totally differently because Jim's approach to singing is very, very full body and very different from most vocal technicians. And he's just taught us a way of using the breath and using the body that makes a lot of sense and creates beautiful sound.
What is it about having a challenge or a puzzle or a musical challenge that is so exciting?
Oh, boy. I just immediately flashed back to a year ago when we started working on the Brahms German Requiem. That's a really difficult piece of music, and it's in German. Now, some people don't find it hard to sing in German. I find it almost impossible to sing in German. I mean, I would sing in Latin all the time if I had my druthers, but of course I don't. And the whole point was to do the Mass in German. That's what Brahms was doing. So there was a real high bar in terms of learning the music, and then another whole high bar in terms of articulating German well.
And the reason we were able to do that is through the incredible coaching of John Finck in the Mass Department, at K College, fluent in German. And then with Andrew conducting, I was preparing the choir vocally, but it was John who was preparing the German, and then having Andrew fluent in German as well makes a huge difference in communicating with a choir who's trying to learn how to sing in German, especially something as monumental as the Requiem.
But I really felt during the rehearsals in the run-up to that concert and the concert itself was when I felt, okay, we've really done something here. This was really an extraordinary experience.
Who, besides Jim Turner, who stands out to you in this organization, this choir, as helping set that bar and bringing along the rest of the group?
Well, Carl Witt is a fabulous accompanist and sometimes alto section leader. We sort of claim him as an honorary alto because we were without a section leader for a couple of years. But we now have five, I think, terrific section leaders, and they help a lot during sectional rehearsals and between times, sort of gathering feedback and talking to Jim and helping us get over the bumps on the road.
Do you begin rehearsals right on time?
Sorry, do I get...
Do you begin rehearsals... Bam, on the...
Pretty close.
Right, people get there to work.
Yeah.
We actually start with about 10 minutes on time.
We do a form of yoga called Qigong.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Led by Lori Kanyash. I was going to name her as another person who gives the chorus its heart and soul. It's basic standing, breathing, very low impact, very low stress exercises that we do in silence, breathing together. And it's just a wonderful way to tune up a chorus without making a note of noise.
And getting the whole body involved in singing and not just focusing on the diaphragm or vocal cords, but actually from the feet all the way to the top of the head. And I believe strongly in that.
In relaxed singing, singing that you're not bringing stress to it, because some of it is stressful.
And everybody's coming from busy days, and their minds are all on, you know, what they left behind at home. And it's a wonderful way to kind of shed that and get into the mode where our minds are thinking about music and thinking together.
Gail, tell me about preparing the pieces for this concert. We should mention that the concert's sold out. Saturday's concert at 4 o'clock, if you're lucky enough to have a ticket, should be a full house. There is an option, though, for those who want to enjoy the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus open dress rehearsal.
Yes.
When will that be?
That will be Saturday, the day before, December the 3rd. That information about coming to that open dress rehearsal can be found online, KalamazooBachFestival.org, or calling the Bach office 377-7407.
Okay.
I really recommend it if you didn't get tickets to the concert, because a dress rehearsal is fun to watch.
Open dress tomorrow at 10 a.m. And, of course, the Bach Festival concert is Sunday at 4. And a major moment for my guest here, Jim Turner, who will be retiring after this season, 20 full years with the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. What did you decide to put on this Christmas concert?
Well, I actually was encouraged for this particular concert, to do a little bit of some of my favorite things. And so I am repeating...
Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Actually, Gail is right. Yalcsit, the opening movement, is the third time we have performed that. But the other excerpts in the oratorio will be our first time performing. It's one of my favorite Bach choral works of all times. And a translation that, this is one translation that I think certainly sums up Christmas and the spirit of Christmas. Celebrate, rejoice, rise up and praise these days, glorify what the highest has created for us. And so it's just a really joyful way to start the Christmas concert and the Christmas season, I think.
This requires a pretty big orchestra, too.
It's a standard-sized Baroque orchestra. A very distinctive feature of this orchestra, in order to pull off that opening movement that I'm repeating, is having three expert trumpet players. And I'd like to mention those three people because they have such a significant role in this concert. Scott Thornburg, Robert White, and Keith Guyman.
Why don't we take a break here and listen to the Yalcsit movement from the Christmas Oratorio by Johann Sebastian Bach, and we'll be back with James Turner, Andrew Kohler, and Gail Griffin here on WMUK. From Johann Sebastian Bach's Christmas Oratorio, we heard the opening movement, Jauchzet, Frohlocket. Andrew Kohler is here. Why don't you read the German?
Jauchzet, Frohlocket, auf Preise die Tage.
This is one of the pieces opening up the Bach Fest Christmas concert on Sunday at 4 o'clock in Stetson Chapel. If you're lucky enough to have a ticket already, you'll be with a sold-out crowd. However, you have another chance to see this program. There's a ticketed open dress rehearsal. You can find out more at the Kalamazoo Bach Festival website, kalamazoobachfestival.org. Jim, can you give us a little history on the Christmas oratorio? This is certainly not your first time bringing this to the festival.
Well, just I think to know that the oratorio, if performed in its entirety, is over 3 hours long. It's actually six cantatas that Bach put together, and three of those cantatas are actually secular, but it's all to be performed during the major feast days of Christmas season. But it was written 1734, 1735, and when I was reviewing some information, some notes I had that I found again. It was not performed again, which is so typical of what happened with Bach, like Elijah, until December the 17th, 1857. So that's amazing that it was that long before it was performed again, which happened, with Mendelssohn and the St. Matthew Passion and bringing Bach back to life in the 19th century. So that I had forgotten that it does relate to that period of music history when Bach was basically forgotten or not performed for over 100 years. And then all of a sudden, here we are.
I'm sure you must see Bach as director of a Bach festival as one of the composers who's had the most influence on music history.
Well, I know Andrew can speak more wonderfully about that and more accurately than I can, but the legacy of Bach is actually how we got into that first performance of Elijah and Mendelssohn that Gail talked about earlier, and the significance of those composers over the centuries, including today, that have been influenced by the music of Bach.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And when you actually think about the composers in the intervening period before Bach was really rediscovered and before it became sort of de rigueur to perform music that was old, right? Because in the late 18th century, one wouldn't perform music from dead composers. That just wasn't done. You played the music of the day. It was very strange. And yet, you see in Mozart's life, you see in Haydn's life, you see in Beethoven's life, all of them encounter at some point the music of Bach, and all of a sudden their late style starts getting more contrapuntal, which is, of course, the hallmark of Bach's writing, right? These several different melodies at once. I mean, every one of them, I think, was bowled over by what they saw in the manuscripts of Bach when they finally came across it. It seems crazy to us to think that, a mature Mozart would rediscover Bach, but there's no question that Bach had an outsized influence on all those major composers, even when he wasn't being performed. And then certainly once he's back in the concert hall, I think everyone looks to him as one of the great monuments of Western music.
And the unique challenge, or one of the unique challenges of performing Bach compared to singing Brahms, like the Requiem, is, as Andrew was saying, being able to navigate through all that contrapuntal music and the coloratura and melismatic sections that are so difficult for a lot of singers to execute. So that takes up quite a bit of rehearsal time, teaching singers to move their voices as quickly as some of the tempos of John Elliott Gardner. So that's always a challenge in singing Bach.
You know who else asks for fast-moving voices and incredible range is Mr. Handel here, who you've programmed second.
I have. I was saying earlier, this being a concert where I was encouraged to sing some of my favorite things. I grew up in the South with the Messiah, and that was the hallmark of my year when I was in high school. The gathering together in Florence, South Carolina, and that community singing the Messiah. And it's always had a special place in my heart, the Messiah. And so we're doing something different. At the end of the first half, the excerpts of Messiah, we're going to end with the Hallelujah Chorus. And I'm going to have the Bach Choir attempt to leave their seats, walk through the orchestra, and actually go into the audience and sing the Hallelujah Chorus with the audience.
Wonderful.
So we'll see how that works out. But I'm thinking that'll be an exciting way to reintroduce the Hallelujah Chorus to the Bach Choir.
Again, this concert is sold out, but it's Sunday at 4 o'clock, standing room only. However, there is a paid dress rehearsal, a ticketed dress rehearsal, rather, at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, also at Stetson Chapel. Tickets are available in advance through the website or by calling 337-7407. The website is KalamazooBachFestival.org. And let's pick out one of these choruses from Messiah and take a short break. What do you suggest, Jim?
Well, why don't we listen to one of the most challenging, talking about melismatic singing, would be His Yoke is Easy and His Burden is Light. And His Yoke is Not Easy to Sing. It's incredibly difficult to pull off. So how about His Yoke is Easy?
Let's hear it. We've just heard a highlight from The Messiah. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. And we're listening to this music with the director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival, Jim Turner, who will be leading his final Bachfest Christmas concert on Sunday and directing the open dress rehearsal tomorrow morning. Jim Turner's retiring after 20 years as leader of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. Also here with us, Andrew Kohler, who directs the Arcado Ensemble and a couple other major organizations in town, and alto, Gail Griffin, a member of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus for 20 years now. I'm going to ask you, Andrew, about the piece that follows after, would that be after intermission?
Yes.
You're going to open the second half with a special piece for strings.
Right. Well, this is the Sibelius Andante Festivo, which was a work that Sibelius actually wrote right around Christmas time. So it does fit very well with the theme and the spirit of the concert, though it's not in any way an overtly religious or Christmas-tide work. I think it just sort of subtly captures the spirit of the season. And, of course, it does so in a very Finnish Sibelius-y way, which is to say that it's still quite muted and a little bit somber, but there is a really penetrating, kind of internalized, inward-looking joy, I think, in the piece. It's a very straightforward work. It's very pure music, you know, and it's just in a very good key for string instruments, and there's a lovely use of the timpani at the end. He saves it till the very last moment, so it's really just a string orchestra work, but that it does have timpani there to give it a little extra heft in the final moment, so you really feel like you've reached some great culmination in those final bars. But if I may, I'd like to speak a little more generally about the Arcado Chamber Ensemble, just explain a little bit about this partnership with the Bach Festival. You know, so the Arcado Chamber Orchestra is a group that I have put together on several different occasions, and it really is professional musicians that are here in town, largely colleagues that I really enjoy working with and really want to celebrate their incredible musicianship, because it's so great that we have them here in town. Some of them play in the Kalamazoo Symphony, others do not. Some of them are faculty members at Western. You know, it's a large range. Some even come from Grand Rapids Symphony and so forth, but they're mostly local and they're all great musicians, and I'm always so honored when I have the chance to put it together. And Corey Summers, who's the relatively new executive director of the Bach Festival Organization, has been a tireless champion and promoter of the Arcado Ensemble, which I so appreciate. And she's really invited this group to come be the group a lot of times when the Bach Festival wants to have a professional orchestra alongside them. And it's just a great joy for us to get to do this. I'm so glad for the opportunity to work with the Bach Festival, whom I've also worked with in other contexts and collaborations, but also especially to work with Jim. I mean, Jim is a really treasured colleague, an incredible director. I mean, we've been singing his praises here already, I think, quite a bit. I don't mean to make him turn too red, but it really is true. It's incredible what he does with these choruses, and it's such a great institution that the Bach Festival has become in this town. So it's a real treat for us to get to work with him.
Well, the season is not over yet. In fact, it's a rather exciting season that will end in 2017, and then already looking ahead to 2017-18, it's looking really exciting as well. Andrew, I believe that Arcado is back together again for the Bach Festival week.
That's right. Yeah, we're really excited to continue to deepen this collaboration between the two organizations. So not only will the Arcado once again serve as the orchestra for the B minor Mass, earlier that week, as part of now an expanded offering of concerts, the Arcado Chamber Ensemble will perform its own standalone concert, and that will be with a countertenor who will be visiting us named Terry Barber, who's really incredible, a former member of Chanticleer and just a wonderful singer. So we're really excited about having a chance to be both part of the Bach Festival and to stand on our own feet as the Arcado Chamber Ensemble.
Would we be able to find that information at the Bach Festival site as well?
You sure can.
Okay. Let's get back to this program for Sunday.
I'd like to mention that Ria Alaveche, soprano, who teaches voice here at Western, will be one of our featured soloists, and she will be the soloist in this incredible composition by Moses Hogan, Glory, Glory to the Newborn King. And it is a piece that really showcases Rhea's voice, and we were really lucky that she can join us to be our soloist for that particular piece, as we don't end the concert with that. In fact, we're going to end the concert with the final movement of the B minor Mass, the Dona Nobis Pacem, and that also is serving as a wee bit of an advertisement for the B minor Mass that we'll be presenting May 14th in Chennery. And so we're obviously looking forward to that, and that really will be my final performance with the Bach Choir, the B minor Mass. Those two pieces will conclude the concert, with some other pieces coming in between. A piece that means a great deal to me that we have sung before, and Gail had mentioned this earlier when we were talking. It's a piece by Morten Lauritsen, Omnia Mysterium. And Gail would like to share her thoughts about that piece.
Well, I was just thinking this morning how much I love the music this year. I haven't always loved everything we're doing. This year I love everything we're doing. But my very favorite is this piece by Morten Lauritsen called Omnia Mysterium. It's in Latin and not German, for one thing. But it's just an exquisitely beautiful a cappella piece. It's contemporary. These almost magical chords appear and vanish and kind of melt into each other, and the text is the story of the animals in the stable the night that Christ is born, according to the biblical story. And we've sung it before a couple times. I was noticing how much better we're singing it this time than we did the first time we sang it.
It's amazing.
When we were really, really worried about losing pitch. And this time that just has not been a concern. It's very difficult to sing, but it's extraordinarily beautiful. And for me, it just captures a lot of the mystery and beauty and somehow a sadness in there, too, about this season.
Some music, when you are singing on a part, it's kind of predictable where your part will be, mm-hmm. on the third or the fourth or the fifth. But in more contemporary pieces, what's written isn't necessarily what's obvious to the ear.
That's right.
And so you really have to be so attentive.
Yes.
To that.
And Mr. Lauridsen, whoever he may be, bless his heart, apparently likes the alto voice because he gives us some lovely things to do, and not all composers do.
Yeah. This piece is...
You might have noticed that.
This choral piece is one of five of his choral compositions that has received an Emmy nomination.
Oh.
And wow. I can't remember the recording of that received that nomination.
You mean Grammy?
I mean Grammy. Yeah. I said Emmy. He has five choral pieces that have received Grammy nominations, this being one of them.
Well, it deserves it.
And an Emmy as well.
Well, here's a recording of Omanium Mysterium by Morten Lauridsen, and it's Seraphic Fire. We heard Omanium Mysterium by Morten Lauridsen, which is on the program Sunday for a Bachfest Christmas, led by my guest, Jim Turner. Jim, what are some other highlights to expect?
Well, one of the traditions in the second half is to do a couple of pieces with the audience, besides Hallelujah. So we'll do the Wilcox, you know, arrangement of O Come All Ye Faithful.
Sir David Wilcox.
Sir David Wilcox, thank you very much. And also...
he sounds like an old friend.
Well, I get very, very emotional hearing that setting. And then See Amid the Winter Snow is another beautiful carol that we're singing arranged, the orchestra arranged by Sir Wilcox again. So those two pieces, in addition to the Hallelujah, will be pieces we'll be singing with the audience.
Other soloists you might want to single out?
Our section leaders are all singing solos in this. In the Arturio, Jessica Coe, Tammy Snyder, Knutson, Victor Garcia, and Joseph Schreck will be singing. And then an a cappella arrangement of Mary Had a Baby by Shaw and Alice Parker, our guest soloist, or not our guest soloist, but one of our soloists within the choir, is Joseph Sablan. Oh, one more soloist, if I could, who is a featured soloist in this concert, is Coraline Longer Schreck. And we'll be singing actually three solos in different places of the concert.
Yes, she has a remarkable voice.
She does indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're able to bring out not only great soloists, but great longtime friends. You've worked with the soloists in the choir for a really long time. And can I squeeze out a few more memories or thoughts on being the director for, 20 years now?
Well, there was the Christmas concert where he fell down the stairs the night before.
That's right, Gail.
Punctured a lung, broke a rib, and conducted anyway. That was a remarkable one.
That's something else.
That was a really remarkable one.
What happened was I didn't know until the next morning that I had a collapsed lung and three cracked ribs. So what happened was, I didn't know this happens when a lung collapses, all that air goes underneath the skin. And so I couldn't figure out my neck. I looked like some character on Star Wars. But the real thing that happened was my voice was alive without its own helium because it was like this. It was high drama.
Well, it kind of fell on the choristers to carry that concert along, too.
And we didn't know exactly what was wrong with him either. We just knew he'd had this fall and something was wrong because his neck looked really strange.
How about, Jim, what do you hope for the chorus?
As I leave this organization.
Yeah, I mean, you've left it in wonderful shape. What do you hope for it in the future?
Well, I think, you know, a remarkable thing that's happened in the last 5 years, 6 years, is the collaboration that we have begun with Andrew and the Philharmonia as well. And that relationship, I hope, will continue to grow and prosper, which will allow us to take on or the organization to consider some new works that we haven't done before. And financially will make it feasible, hopefully, to do some new things that we haven't done or tried. And I think the singers, as Gail was saying, I think my hope for them is that they will continue to grow vocally and spiritually and to be able to tackle more and more, difficult choral works from all periods in music history. So my hope is that we will continue to grow vocally as a choir.
Well, I have another chance to ask you that in a few months when we come back and talk about the B minor Mass, which will close the season in May. But that's it for today with Jim Turner, Gail Griffin, and Andrew Kohler. Let's remind listeners about the concert open rehearsal. It's a ticketed event. Details are online at Kalamazoo Bach Festival. org. And of course, the sold out Kalamazoo Bach Festival Christmas is Sunday at 4 p.m. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.